been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Joining me, not via Skype, but actually in person, our first time ever doing a show in person, my buddy Josh. What's up, man?
We're moving up the world, aren't we?
Yeah, we moved away from Skype and me being in my basement to being in my car.
Yeah, hey, I mean, it's on the go. We do the call wherever, whenever, man. I mean, yeah. we're mobile.
Yeah, we're right outside the Senator Theater. Great theater in Baltimore. About to go see American Sniper. Pretty excited for that flick.
Oh, yeah, man. I've been hearing a lot of great things about it, Brandon, and the rave is all over because we're about to see it this afternoon, right after the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what brought us together? We were talking last week, and we're like, you know, I remember signing off with you and being like, hey, don't be a stranger. We'll talk soon. But here we are a week later. Gary Kubiak now in Denver as the head coach. I think he was, a little too premature saying, hey, I'm not going to go anywhere because that job wasn't available at the time. But what do you think this does to the team now?
I think it does great things. I mean, obviously, losing Kubiak, it hurts a little bit because he had that he built a great offense. Chemistry Flacco, as I just tweeted a little bit before the show, Flacco had one of his best year careers, if not probably the best statistical season of his career. I mean, 39-86. He was 14 yards short of 4,000, 27 touchdowns, I believe 12 picks. Mm-hmm. He had a great year. I mean, 14 yards shy, and his leading receiver was, I hate to interrupt, but I think Star-Lord on your dash is incredible. I just keep looking over there. I'm like, dude, that's awesome.
Hey, look, he'll agree with you, too. There you go. He's bobbling now.
I saw Star-Lord, and I had to break it. But I got distracted. Star-Lord was staring me in the face. but with that being said, by the way, Guardians was a great movie.
Oh, one of the best.
One of the best. I think it. And Steve Smith was his leading receiver. So you put it that way. Obviously, we'll get to the offseason, the playmakers. But what if Joe Flacco and the offense had a playmaker? Would we be in Super Bowl 49? Would be in the AFC title game at least? Who knows?
Yeah.
We were one of two plays defensively and offensively. What if we had Jimmy Smith? We can't really talk about that. It's water under the bridge there. We already know what the outcome was, but. I think we'll be fine. I mean, the track record with our coaching staff leaving, obviously more on the defensive side of the ball, as you know, I think this is it. If my research serves correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, please, because I always like to be the know-it-all.
Right.
but if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I think this is the 16th coach in Ravens history that was an assistant and became a head coach. Yeah. I mean, I can name nameless ones from Hugh Jackson, Mike Nolan, and this is not any specific defense or offensive. This is anybody. I mean, yeah, Jim Caldwell recently,
yeah.
Jim Schwartz. you can name numerous ones. Mike Smith was one of them. Now Kubiak's going to join the ranks. Rex Ryan, another one. Chuck Pagano, who's just in the title game, another one.
Yeah.
I can name countless offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators. But with that being said, I'm going to put the backlash to rest, Brandon. Here's why. Everybody was no upset about Kubiak leaving. Oh, well, he gave us his word. He said we're building something great. Listen, guys. Kubiak, his history with Denver, it's nothing that, you know, and we know how John Elway treated Baltimore. He snubbed Baltimore. He wanted to be a Denver Bronco, not a Baltimore Colt back then. And we all know the old John Elway snub. With that being said, it's not John Elway getting his revenge of that. It's not getting a revenge on the Mile High Miracle. It's not revenge anywhere.
Not revenge for getting Doomerville.
Exactly. Hey, wasn't my fault the fax machine didn't break.
Right.
But it was our benefit, Ravens franchise leader in sacks, and couldn't be more proud of that. But with that being said, thank you. Telling you, I got to find that fax machine online, dude. I'm going to buy that thing. It's Kubiak's history. He has a 20-year history of player and a coach. I mean, he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's old school pictures of him in Elway. He was always back up. And Kubiak has that long history, and I think it bodes well. And be honest with everybody, backlash aside, that was the only job he was leaving for was the Denver Broncos job. And yes, it happened at a time to where right after we lose, Kubiak's like, look, we're going to build something great here. We're going to move forward with the offense. And then all of a sudden, who did Nunjob? I thought he went, it was a surprise to me. Wouldn't you say that John Fox was released?
Oh, yeah. That was a big surprise. I think that's why – I don't know. Like, I understand this is from Kubiak. I think the biggest thing that – I'm not shocked that he left. I mean, to be offered your quote-unquote dream job of a place that you have a relationship with in the past – anyone would have taken that, you know. If Ray Lewis were to take, you know, a defensive coordinator position with the Browns and then something opened up with the Ravens, do you really think he'd be like, nah, I'm good where I'm at. I don't want to be, you know, the head coach of the Ravens down the road. You know, that's – of course he's going to take it. The Ravens PR team, though, I mean, they don't know what to do this season. They screwed up so many times with, like, the Ray Rice situation, putting out, you know, videos and blog posts about that, and then to put this out, like – maybe he didn't have to, or the Ravens pressured him into it. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't have to make a statement like that. He could have just declined it or whatever, because obviously it came prematurely because he didn't know that was going to happen. I don't blame him for leaving. I'm not mad at him for leaving because, again, everybody knows I wasn't a big fan of his, you know, his system anyway. But, you know, it's a head coach job at a place he used to work and has a good relationship with. Why wouldn't he take it?
That's right. Why wouldn't he take it? And I don't blame the guy. If we were all in his position, I think 10 times out of 10, we would have done the same thing, Brandon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's most likely everybody's dream job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, 1% of dream jobs do exist out there, whether we want to be a sports athlete, an actor, actress, whatsoever, and you know, somebody famous. But this is a coaching dream job for Kubiak. He had to take it. It was there. And we're actually in the process of already reviewing his placement. I think Adam Gase was interviewed, or if not – to be interviewed. And the big funny thing is today is I was listening on some of the local media shows, and John Harbaugh was actually waiting in the airport, believe it or not. I think it was this morning, and he was in line at McDonald's, and he was joking with some of the fans, and he's saying, like, there might be a big announcement coming soon. Whether that's true or not,
right.
we'll know for certain when our alarms go off on the phones here for our Ravens alerts, and we've hired a new offensive coordinator. But I think a lot of people are in the panic mode, too, not only with Kubiak leaving, but with him taking some of the assistants with him.
Yeah.
And I think that's where everybody's like, oh, my God, we lost our coach. Yeah, coaching's coaching, but the Ravens are the Ravens. Ozzie's Ozzie. Front office is front office. Not only do we find the best talent, but we seem to hire the best coaches, and John Harbaugh's one of them. Another successful 7 years running in the league, and, I mean, a few years now, and he'll surpass Billick as a tenured coach in the Baltimore history ranks at being a Baltimore Ravens head coach. So right now, no reason to panic in the offseason. We just need to get healthy, add the coaching pieces, and we'll be on the right track, Brandon.
Yeah, you know, that is a big question mark because he's leaving. He's also taking two other coaches with him. The Ravens also lost their secondary coach to, you know, he took a different job. He didn't go with the Broncos, but he took a different position somewhere else.
Yeah, Steve Spagnuolo went back up to the Giants. He was just feeling the Giants squad, and he's back up there. So congratulations to Steve going back to his old-time grants. I know he coached on the Rams as well, being a head coach there, and you know, kudos to him and going back there. So, and that too, it brings us, I mean, because we'll get a remake secondary, Jimmy Smith back, who knows, and with a new coach, maybe that would be something that would get us to the hump for the next playoff run.
Yeah, absolutely. But the biggest question mark for me, besides, you know, Kubiak leaving and who is going to replace him, he's taking these two coaches with him. What about some of the free agents that the Ravens have right now on offense? Look at guys like Owen Daniels and Justin Forsett, two guys that were brought in because, like, you know, CM Punk was a Paul Heyman guy. These guys were Gary Kubiak guys. They knew his system. They were brought in because they had a relationship with him already. If he leaves, do these guys stay Ravens, or are they let go and are allowed to test out the free market due to the free agent market, due to the fact that they were brought in and now the guy that the reason they were brought in for isn't here anymore?
Well, that's true. And Forsett, I think, is the exception that, due to legalities, I believe, in his contractual situation, he has to hit the free agent market and test his worth, per se, before the Ravens can actually offer him a contract. I think ultimately, I love to see Owen Daniels back, being a backup to Dennis Pitta, but we don't know Dennis Pitta's uncertainty. It is said that he could not play football ever again because, as John Harbaugh reiterated, they're going to see a specialist about his hip to determine his playing ability and his availability next year in the offseason rehab. with Pitta's uncertainty and with we have Supernaw as one of our quarterbacks, and he's been doing great. And we have Crockett Gilmore. Mm-hmm. I like Gilmore, obviously, on the upside. He caught the touchdown pass in Pittsburgh. I like more upside of Crockett Gilmore. Supernaw was a practice guy, squad guy, and not to say he hasn't done anything good for us. He has. Yeah. But when it comes to starting ranks, we want somebody good and formidable there, and I think Owen Daniels is going to send that trend of free agents come to Baltimore and they end up staying a few years saying, hey, it's pretty cool here. I love this team. I love the, where they're going. And I think Forsett's a lock. That's my personal opinion. I think Forsett's a lock, Brandon. And with that being said, I think Owen Daniels is a question mark given the uncertainty of the tight end position and where we're going to head in the draft. I think we'll address some needs there, obviously secondary and receiver, and see where we go.
Yeah, I think that Forsett is more of a more of a chance of staying than Owen Daniels, due to the fact that, you know, the running back position is a little bit more wide open, because Bernard Pierce didn't have a good season, so that one you kind of need Forsett. Owen Daniels, you do have a couple more weapons there that you can use if he leaves, but you got to wonder what this does free agent wise with, you know, guys like Torrey Smith, Justin Tucker. Personally, I think Tyrod Taylor is gone. I think that's why they kept that, I forget what his name was, the quarterback that they tested out in training camp. That's why they kept him on, because he was a little bit more Joe Flacco like, more like Joe Flacco than Tyrod Taylor is, at least. So I think that they're going to bring him in as the backup and let Tyrod go, you know, once free agency starts. So there's a lot of money going around. We'll see where everybody lands. But as far as you know, Gary Kubiak leaving, I'm not shocked he left for that job. I think that was good on him. The Ravens are going to have to do some rebuilding this off season, and they're kind of used to it now, because here's Joe Flacco. You know, we're both fans of Joe Flacco. He's done a great job here.
And speaking of that, didn't he just what happened here? Didn't he just turn down something?
He turned down the Pro Bowl because his wife is about to give birth to their third kid already.
Brago's a number three Flacco. Congratulations, man. Yeah. He's getting busy over there.
He's real busy.
The Flacco family's doing our Ravens family proud and growing the family, man.
Yeah, so declined the Pro Bowl so
that's
he
awesome.
Could focus on his family, which I thought was really
that's
cool.
Awesome.
But here, Joe Flacco, how many years has he been with the Ravens now?
Seven.
7 years, and he's gone through how many? Four now, offensive coordinators?
That's right. And that's a concern. You bring up a great point. It's, well, there's the uncertainty. Yes, we have a great stable head coach. He's pretty much almost had the same running back up until this year. Uh-huh. But that didn't change because, obviously, Forsett's been great.
Yeah.
Over 1,000 yards. And you're right. And with Joe Flacco's development, but I think he's done fine.
Yeah.
Granted, he had a Super Bowl run and a playoff where he ran 11 touchdowns, zero picks, and up until this year, he had a great streak in the playoffs going, and of 17 touchdowns, no picks up until this year, and last six playoff games, he's 5-1, obviously, going back to the Super Bowl run in 2012, but we fired our offensive coordinator 3 weeks left in the season,
yeah,
and then we're Super Bowl champs. He's got an MVP trophy to boot.
Right.
So I nixed that with that. Nothing to be said, Brandon. You need to put your foot down and say, that's it. You can't come back from that, because there's no fan, there's no media member, anybody can argue, well, yeah, you're right. He's had four awesome offensive coordinators in 7 years, but we also had a change 3 weeks left in the season, which is unprecedented, let alone from a pending champion of the Ravens who actually hoisted the trophy that year. That never happens.
Right.
Usually, especially at head coaching ranks, rarely do you see in the NFL, let alone sports. I've seen it in baseball, managers get let go during the year. The Orioles are one of them. I think it was Lee Mazzoni in 2005 got let go, and there was an interim manager. Ray Miller was interim manager for the Orioles. It happens.
Right.
I've seen it in the NBA where head coaches get let go. Rarely in the NFL. Usually see that after the season.
Mm-hmm.
Something drastically has to happen before, in college football it happens. Rarely do you see in the NFL where somebody gets let go during the year, whether it's offensive coordinator, head coach.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens firing of Cam Cameron and hiring Jim Caldwell within, to my knowledge, if someone can really tweet me this, I would love to know, but I think that was the first time that I can recall in my recent memory, and I've been alive 28 years. I mean, obviously I don't have that much sports under my belt yet, but I can't recall a time where a NFL or any coach, for that matter, got fired during the season like that, and for a potential playoff-winning team.
Yeah. I can't really think of anything like that either, but my point being with Joe Flacco is that a lot of people are saying, like, oh, I can't believe he has to learn yet another system, you know. But for 7 years, the guy at this point has got to be used to change, has got to be used to being able to play all these different systems. I mean,
Joe's Joe. He goes with it. Yeah. You know how he is. It's, oh, my receivers are hurt. Oh, well, I mean, Dennis Pitta got hurt. He's his best friend, and oh, what do we do? Just go to divisional round playoff game. Yeah. I mean, it's ho-hum to these guys. It's next man up. Joe Flacco don't care. He's going to throw the ball whoever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what speaks volumes about his development. It's no matter who's there, yes, the system changes, but I don't think the playbook would change that very much because they talk to Joe. I mean, come on, guys. It's the NFL. The coordinator's not going to come in, this is the way I run things, and if Joe don't like it, whatever. No, he talks to Joe and says, hey, he knows Joe's strengths. He knows Joe's weaknesses, especially if somebody who's brand new.
Yeah.
I'm sure they sit down, and I'm sure this is how the process goes. They sit down, have a one-on-one meeting. They go over some things. They go over the playbook, what Joe's used to, what's not, what works, what doesn't. Yeah, they tweak a few things, mm-hmm. but we're not rewriting the script and reinventing the wheel here, guys. I mean, it's not – we're not running trip plays, night glueing, and we're not, you know, we're not putting these god-awful formations out there. We're keeping it stupid simple for Joe Flacco in the offense and not dumbing down Joe's intelligence. Joe's smart.
Oh, yeah.
But for the ease of the four coordinators in 7 years, you got to keep it simple for this offense. And this offense just – it's very simple. You run the football, run sets up the pass, vice versa. You got guys running crisp routes. You got the pass blocking. We could do leaps and bounds here, and that could be for any NFL team. But for our concern, I don't see any concern.
Yeah, you know, Joe, he's learning all these different things. I don't think we've ever seen Joe 100% comfortable with a system either, because we know from, like, his college days, and he's even brought up that he wants, you know, more of the shotgun formation. He wants to be able to call it on the field.
He thrives on that, if you notice.
Yeah, and he didn't do it a lot this past season. It was a lot of...
That's Kubiak's offense, yeah. Again.
Yeah,
under
so
center.
If we do get a new offensive coordinator, maybe giving Joe a little bit more freedom, we might see you know, a Joe that looks a little bit more comfortable. You know, a lot of he always seems as if he knows what's going on. I'm never unconfident with Joe there, but a lot of the you know, TV people are saying, you know, oh, he doesn't show enough you know, attitude or whatever on the field. But that's not the way Joe is. I think if you kind of let him do a little bit more of what he wants with the shotgun formation, you work with this new offensive coordinator, we might this season coming up finally see a Joe Flacco that is, you know, 100% confident. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, because he's won a Super Bowl already. He's done already great things. He's proven he's an elite quarterback. But maybe we'll see Joe Flacco with fan support all the time. Like, maybe a new offensive coordinator will just make everybody I don't know. You can't make everybody happy. But
no, you can't.
You see what I'm getting at? You know, like, Joe's comfortable. He'll work in your system. But maybe this next offensive coordinator will give him the freedom of doing the shotgun formation a little bit more than we've seen in the past.
Of course, and Joe Flacco has been on record, and you've seen the videos where he was on the sideline with Cam Cameron's offense, and he was like, well, yes, we got to let fly, and we got to get something going. Joe knows.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll, you know, not to say he's going to tell him who's boss, but Joe tell him, hey, look, guys, you know, the new guy coming on the block, whoever it is, this is how I like to do things. Because they're not going to write a script for Joe Flacco to follow that he's uncomfortable with.
Right.
They're not going to, here's a playbook, learn it, and whatever. I mean, it's not Joe's rookie year. He knows, and he's going to – they're all going to talk as adults, as the brain trust of the offense, and go, hey, this is how we're going to work it.
Mm-hmm.
And came ready to see how it works out in preseason, whoever it may be. We'll get to see that, and obviously game one, whoever that opponent may be in the coming months, we'll find out accordingly. But, no, I don't see any concerns with the offense. I can see why people could question that, and we can make the arguments against that, but given the track record of this team, it's not going to matter.
Yeah. All right, so, I mean, this has been a nice little show here talking about the Kubiak news, but
yes, sir.
Did we miss anything?
I'm going to say something here, and we were talking about this at lunch, is the magnitude of these NFL games and Championship Sunday, man, that was some great, crazy football, wasn't it?
That so, definitely was. I didn't get to see any of the Seattle game. But
I forgot our picks on the show. Didn't I pick the Seahawks and the Patriots?
I think we both did.
I think we both did.
Yeah.
So we're both right. And, yeah. I picked the Seahawks winning at all the repeats. So right now we're on track record. So
we're
we'll have to
good.
I mean, we done countless shows. I talk a lot. So I have to go back and see real picks. I have to re-listen to the show. I can't even remember. But with that being said, we were talking at lunch and the magnitude, and I posted on my Facebook and as well as my Twitter of the guy going crazy with the Marshawn Lynch touchdown, the Seahawks fan. You saw it for the first time today. And I'd be joking, that was my reaction to the Mahi Miracle and how we, and the way the Seahawks are, it's like the Ravens story.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they equate the birds. You know, Hawks, Ravens are a bird. Seattle, Baltimore, kind of the, you know, the hard, wouldn't say hard news, blue collar.
Yeah.
Blue collar towns, it's the hard, you know, Seattle has the imports, the fish market. It's a bigger city, but the rain, they're on the water, they're East Coast. They remind me of ourselves. Mm-hmm. They win on defense, and they barely do enough. I mean, Russell Wilson won the game. He threw, what, three picks?
Yeah. I mean, lock my doors, man. Oh, you're locking us in.
I'm locking us in. Right. We're getting cranked up in here. No one's touching us. but with that being said, it's they remind me a lot of like the Ravens. It's they got beast mode. What's the Ravens' mantra is always run the football. I mean, you remember the old big runs that Jamal Lewis had? Get Jamal the ball. That was the war cry. Forsett was a beast this year. And if they gave it to him, the offense runs through the running back. Ray Rice was the same way in his prime. The Seahawks reminded me a lot of like the Ravens' blueprint, win with defense, and I want to bring this up just because of the sake that it's football, and it concerns me too because the Ravens have been notorious, especially in Indianapolis, who just played, and I was there, saw it live. How many times this year, Brandon, have the Ravens been inside the 5-yard line, let alone the 1-yard line, and they couldn't punch it in, and they was against the Jaguars as well?
Man,
how many times was that like frustrating?
They were allergic to that.
They were.
Yeah.
It seemed like the Packers were the same thing,
uh-huh.
And whether. Some people were writing it off as the Packers were intimidated. I'm telling you what, fourth and goal in an NFC Championship game, you're going for it.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know Belichick's going for it. You know a lot of, and I think Harbaugh will. Knowing his aggressiveness, he did it when against the Jacksonville Jaguars and was successful. But and I saw their live right in front of me. But again, a lot of people were tweeting those 4 points going back and haunt the Packers. It did. They lost. Well, they went into overtime and lost. But touchdown there. To me, point because then they're the Seahawks are 4 points short.
Yeah.
Even if they get two touchdowns there, it's 14-0. Says 6-0, game's over. It should have been at least 28-31 at halftime instead of 16. So, with that being said, that game kind of mirrored. It showed some of the ugliness of the Ravens in the season, but it shows you that being down 16-0 and the whole adversity thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can phase you. I mean, it was like a Maha Miracle. 30 seconds left, no timeouts, had to go 70 yards.
Yeah.
And Flacco wings a mile high prayer, and Jacoby's in it. And we're in the AFC Championship game, and we beat the doors off the Patriots, blanked them in the second half, and then we won Super Bowl 47. It happens.
Yeah.
The Seahawks remind me of, I think it's destiny for them to repeat because it's showing how this game went and those crazy plays. And how about that throw of the 2-point conversion?
Mm-hmm.
How amazing was that?
That was, I saw that. Yeah, on the replays. That was amazing.
How amazing was it to see him running for his life and just to throw it? And it was one of these rainbow arcs. You're like, that's going to be picked. That's going to be complete. And he catches it.
Yeah.
The beast mode run of 24 yards to match his number. Everything was in the work. They got the onside kick. I was just like, how many times the onside kick work in the NFL? Zero, you know, almost 0% usually.
Yeah.
Because I never see it work out. And it was like everything had to fall perfectly. The Seahawks had to score, which they did. They scored 7. Now, they didn't go for 2 there to cut it within 8-16. They only scored the 7, which was odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
They had to get the other touchdown and the 2-point conversion, and then they had to kick in. It was just like everything was falling in place. They got the 2-point conversion. They got it. They went overtime. They got the ball first, and then took it right down the field, and that throw was amazing. Championship Sunday, and then with the Patriots, they blew the doors off the Colts. I'm telling you right now, if we'd have won 2 plays away, we would have been in Super Bowl 49 because the Colts looked anemic.
Oh, they looked bad.
Yeah, and I'm not I'm just not saying this because it was the Patriots, because we had 2 14 points in Patriots, and then we were on the brink of beating them. The Patriots beat the doors off them. The Colts are horrible. I don't know. Again, congratulations to them. I mean, they won their division. You know, they were division champs. It is a weak division. I mean, look at that. You got the Texans, Titans, and I mean, come on. I mean, I give more kudos to the Ravens being the AFC North in the 6th seed, 3 out of 3 teams in AFC, and they were the last left standing. They beat our division champs and the Steelers at home. So I give more credit to what the Ravens have done versus what the Colts have done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might call it disrespectful, but come on, man. I mean, you get a cakewalk division title, and they looked anemic. I mean, we barely lost to them in Indianapolis, and I was there to see it. The Colts have lost some bad games this year, and they played the Patriots earlier this year and got beat the same way.
Yeah.
They got beat, I think, by another 20 or 30 points there, too, and that was in their stadium. So with that being said, Super Bowl 49 is Seahawks, Patriots. Brady's going for his 4th ring. we're setting the tables. Obviously, we're going to do a show next week for the cover of the Super Bowl. And really, I want to do a preview of the Super Bowl. I love Super Bowl Sunday. I'm very pumped for it.
Yeah.
You know, match us what to watch, and then we'll do our so-called, you know, our preview of the Super Bowl for all of our Super Bowl fans out there and give our predictions. But I really just want to say, set the table. Brady going for his fourth ring. He's going to try, if he wins, I'm getting excited. Tie Joe Montana for four rings overall as a quarterback. And look what Brady Belichick done. I know the whole deflating football stories out there. I mean, you never can hear the Patriots in a story without cheating,
yeah.
Brandon.
Yeah.
But it's unprecedented what they've done. Mm-hmm. You can't take away wins and losses. I mean, you can't really prove anything at this point. You know, Belichick, 21 playoff wins as a coach, most all time, past Tom Landry. Brady has more playoff wins under his belt than 21 franchises in the NFL. I mean, he's got double more than Joe Flacco, which is great, but I look at it this way. If Tom Brady played so long in this league and he just got his 20th and 21st wins or whatever, how he's at, Joe Flacco's got 10.
Yeah.
So Flacco has been in the league 7 years. Who's to say in another 7 years Joe Flacco has another 10 playoff wins and a title? I'm saying this right now, and you might call me crazy, but it could be a Hall of Fame status for number 5 in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Just saying, based on solely on that numbers alone. But with that being said, it's another story for a nice rainy day for us here in Baltimore. But sets up the stage, great championship Sunday.
Yep.
Super Bowl 49 is set in Glendale, Arizona. And the last time the Patriots played in there, the Giants beat them to ruin their undefeated season. So, and the Patriots have not played there since that game. So there's some ghosts there to exercise. So, but we got some good storylines. You know, we got the Patriots were the last team to repeat in the NFL. And the Seahawks are going to do that against the same team who last did it. Yeah. So there's a lot of intriguing storylines. Back-to-back Super Bowl champs, they could become a dynasty. Seahawks, team of destiny. Patriots, are they going to try to get one more under the belt for Tom Brady? Who knows, man, but it's going to be a great thing. But we'll break down the game next week, me and you on the call, and I got some good tidbits for us for that game.
All right, very cool. So if you want to continue to talk Baltimore Ravens football or about the Super Bowl coming up, tweet to me, at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
We just got breaking news.
What's
breaking
that?
News on the call.
What's that?
Breaking news. Ravens hired offensive coordinator, former Bears coach Mark Trestman.
Wow.
It is just breaking news just now. So you've heard it here first on the call. I'm sure it's out there, but you'll hear it soon.
Wow.
But you've heard it here. Breaking news. Good thing I check my phone all the time when I'm on these things.
Yep, there it is from the Ravens
official. Ravens hire former Bears head coach Mark Trestman as new offensive coordinator, and Harbaugh was telling the truth.
There was
an imminent coming soon.
All right, well, you know, the movie's in about 10 minutes, but real quick, what do you think of that? Real quick.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Twitter. Do like 140 characters or less.
Of course. 140 characters. I like it because of the offense he came from.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they have I wouldn't say they underachieved. I don't know who, again, I don't know the Bears' background, their schemes, who had the offensive coordinator reigns there.
Yeah.
But when you have Cutler, I know he's underperformed, underachieved. We already knew about that. When you have Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, and Matt Forte, that's like a fantasy lineup in its own, dude.
Yeah.
Like, if Flacco was under center of that team, we'd be the creme of the AFC every freaking year. And I'm just saying that right now. I mean, Jeffrey's a beast. Brandon Marshall's a beast. These guys are absolute studs. So whatever wasn't working there, I don't know. But I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like the direction we're heading. So there you go. Mark Trestman, Ravens' new offensive coordinator. You heard it first on the call. Breaking news.
Welcome to Baltimore.
Welcome to Baltimore, Mark.
We're looking
forward to it.
Tell us what you think of him. Tweet to us, and thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. We are The Call. Josh, we're about to go see American Sniper in just a few minutes. So very quickly, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon. Can't wait to get after it. But with that being said, breath of fresh air. We got a coaching hire. Mark Trestman, welcome to Baltimore. Really can't wait to get after it and see what pieces we add. The offseason's already starting to get going, man. We don't waste any time. You know, Kubiak leaves. Days later, not even days later, like 48 hours later, we got a new offense coordinator. So, again, I know him and Flacco will get right after it. We're going to be excited about it in Baltimore. We're going to preview the Super Bowl, but then after that, we got the combine. We're going to cover some new Ravens being drafted in a few months, and we're going to put the pieces together. Like Joe Flacco said, we'll be back, and he echoes the famous words of the Terminator. So we're going to terminate some competition 2015, wouldn't you say, Brandon?
Oh, I think so.
Of course. So in the offseason, we're going to start it off right. Let's fly high this offseason, Baltimore.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly, from the DBK studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.